so on and so forth. But when her mother-in-law, Naomi, decided to move back to Judea, she and her sister-in-law, Orpah, begged to go with her. When Naomi refused, Orpah tearfully said goodbye and went back to her homeland. However, Ruth did not leave Naomi. Three times Naomi told Ruth to go back to her family in Moab. The third time, Ruth said to Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." When Naomi saw that Ruth was just about ready to go to the ends of the earth with her, she allowed her to come with her to Judea. We as Gentiles can relate to Ruth in this situation. Ruth attached herself to Naomi just as we attach ourselves to the Jewish people. Naomi rejected Ruth three times, just as the Jewish people reject us. But if we have dedication like Ruth, we ensure ourselves a spot in God's plan for salvation. Now, I'm not saying that if you haven't attached yourself to the Jews, then you're bad. I was recently at a friend's house, and my friend's little sister was wondering about my religion. She asks, "Do you still believe in God?" And I said, "Yes, we both serve God, but we have different ways of honoring him." And that she understood. I'd also like to talk a little bit about my parasha. I have parasha Bereshit 10, parasha Miketz. I was kind of bummed when I first read it through, to be honest. It's like the build-up to Yosef's big reveal of who he really is to his brothers, and then it stops. Yeah. So my parasha begins when Pharaoh has his two dreams and Yosef is brought out of prison. As the story goes, Yosef was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was treated like a criminal and endured suffering. Now, who else do we read about in the Bible who is betrayed by people who were close to him? That's right, Yeshua, our Messiah. Yeshua was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, one of his Talmudim and closest friends. Yeshua was treated as a criminal and suffered greatly, but this was all part of God's plan, as was Yosef's dilemma. And as Yosef came to so much power that the only one more powerful was Pharaoh, likewise, Yeshua will come to power and only God will be more powerful. In conclusion, I hope we can all go to bed tonight with God's peace and knowledge of his plan to bring a Redeemer to all nations of the earth.
Thank you, Ayla. It's been my privilege working with you over these past few months. I have never seen a kid put as much work into learning about God and trying to draw near to him than I've seen out of you these past few months, especially the past couple of weeks. She has been a machine, wanting to stay up to all hours of the night, studying her bat mitzvah stuff, reading the Bible, writing her message there. She would be driving home from here, and she'd want me to put the Wi-Fi on my phone on so she could get on the internet with her Chromebook there so she could keep writing it or keep practicing her parasha or keep practicing her Torah reading. So I'm very, very pleased and proud of her. My wife Molly has instilled in all our children a love for God that is earnest, faithful, and true. Ayla and I have spent quite a bit of time together, as I just talked about, and I've been very proud to see the love of God in her heart, augmented with a search for God in her mind. I've seen her ask good questions, point out different ideas, and link together different parts of Scripture. To see her put her mind to work, searching out Adonai's truth, has been the highlight of this experience for me. I'm going to have many fond memories of this time. We spent hours together, Ayla and I, over in the office in the treehouse, studying and putting together the slideshow music she sang to this morning. There was a certain picture of her on the slideshow where she's in an Iron Man costume wearing a pink tutu. She went through a superhero phase when she was about three, and one day I came home to find her in that outfit, and she told me that she was Iron Princess. And I was the bad guy, and we had to fight. We had to cut out a lot of great pictures out of the slideshow, and Ayla insisted that Iron Princess stay in there. Listening to her practice canting the Torah, helping her memorize her final aliyot, working on her speech with her, all these things I'm going to cherish. You know, Mike Manning encouraged us to have her carry the Torah, but we had to test if she would be able to carry the Torah around the synagogue. We had our doubts because, if you notice, the scroll is actually a little bit bigger than her torso. Her choice of shoes was dictated by the fact that she was carrying the Torah. She wanted some heels, but Molly said she looked like a newborn fawn on the heels, and she remembered she had to carry the Torah, so she has flats. I shouldn't have doubted that she would be able to carry it. I once asked Mike Lorberg if the Torah was heavy. He said no, because I'm not supporting it. It's supporting me. The idea of the Torah, or God's laws, or a better translation is instructions, that it supports us, is the reason we're here today. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5 says, "My son, if you will receive my words and store my commands inside you, paying attention to the wisdom, inclining your mind toward understanding, yes, if you will call for insight and raise your voice for discernment, if you seek as if you would silver and search for it as if for hidden treasure, then you will understand and fear Adonai and find knowledge of God." One of the best-known customs of the Jewish people is that of the Bar Bat Mitzvah that we're doing here today. Whether or not you're from a Jewish background, most people realize that a Bar Bat Mitzvah is an important step in the life of a Jewish child. The term Bar Bat Mitzvah is Hebrew Aramaic, meaning son or daughter of the commandment. Bar is Aramaic for son, and bat is Hebrew for daughter. Mitzvah is Hebrew for commandment. This is a milestone in the life of a Jewish child. It's a time when the child takes responsibility for his or her own religious life and is considered the biblical age of accountability. The child crosses over the precarious gap between childhood and adolescence and becomes responsible to the requisite spiritual duties as an adult. This include being called to the Bima to make Aliyah, fasting on Yom Kippur and other fast days, taking part in synagogue prayers as she did today, and other aspects of congregational life. The historical background of Bar Bat Mitzvah, of the Bar Bat Mitzvah custom, is somewhat more difficult to track than many other traditions. This is primarily because there's no specific reference to the ceremony in the Hebrew scripture. Rather, the Bar Bat Mitzvah timing and ceremony are part of Jewish traditions and writings. It's the result of thousands of years of observations by the sages, watching children grow, and noting when the average child is mature enough to be part of congregational worship and responsible for their own spiritual lives. This is not unlike we in the United States. We have ages that we've set for things, such as school grades, driving, the voting age, the drinking age, the age you can join the military. Intelligent people have studied children and determined the best age for them to have a responsibility or a privilege. That's what the Jewish people have done with the Bar Bat Mitzvah ceremony. Scripture speaks of holding us accountable for what we know and holding us accountable for based on our knowledge. For example, in Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, "Things which are hidden belong to Adonai our God, but the things that have been revealed belong to us and our children forever, so that we can observe all the words of this Torah. Or James 4:17, where it says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin." Or James 3, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Or Luke 12:48, "When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required." As parents, we seek to equip our children with the knowledge of God so that they may be ready for every good work. Ignorance is never an excuse. So we do our best to prepare them for service to the world. There's a Jewish phrase called tikkun olam, or restoration of the world. We don't seek to hide from the world, but to go into it prepared to do as much good as we can. For this, we prepare our children with as much knowledge and love of God as we can. Train a child in the way she should go, and even when old, she will not depart from it. Some people will surely ask why we have chosen this path. Why would a Gentile or a non-Jew want to take part in this Jewish ritual? This may seem confusing to some, since Ayla's parents, Molly and I, were not born Jewish. But we have decided that Ayla should be raised knowing God in a way that few Gentiles have an opportunity to, not merely the God of the Brit Hadashah or the New Testament, but of the whole Bible, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Along with this is the understanding that just because the bat mitzvah is not required for Gentiles and has no bearing on our salvation, it's not forbidden of us. We here at Adatz Chaim, Tree of Life Congregation, believe John 4:22, where it says salvation comes from the Jews. Indeed, Genesis 12:3, Adonai is speaking to Abraham, telling him, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." Therefore, we identify with and attach ourselves to the Jewish people and our Jewish Messiah. We seek to follow Yeshua, Jesus, to the best of our ability, doing as he did and walking as he walked. There's a passage in Luke 2 that many have interpreted as Yeshua going through this very same process of a bar mitzvah. It's Luke 2, verses 40 through 49. I'm going to read it to you. You're probably familiar with it. But it says, "The child grew and became strong and filled with wisdom. God's favor was upon him. Every year, Yeshua's parents went to Yerushalayim for the festival of Pesach, or Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up for the festival as custom required. But after the festival was over, when his parents returned, Yeshua remained in Yerushalayim. They didn't realize this, supposing he was somewhere in the caravan. They spent a whole day on the road before they began searching for him among the relatives and friends. Failing to find him, they returned to Yerushalayim and to look for him. On the third day, they found him. He was sitting in the temple court among the rabbis, not only listening to them, but questioning what they had said. And everyone who heard him was astonished by his insight and his responses. When his parents saw him, they were shocked, and his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done that? Why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been terribly worried looking for you.' He said to them, 'Why did you have to look for me? Didn't you know that I had to be concerning myself with my father's affairs?'" Now, granted, Scripture doesn't call this a bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah is not anywhere in the Bible. However, if you think about it, all the elements are there. The child had grown strong and become filled with wisdom, become mature enough to understand what was happening. He was 12 years old, which is the traditional age. He was sitting with the religious leaders, learning and questioning him. You know, that's like Ayla sitting with me and teaching and learning from me and, you know, teaching me a thing or two here. And she was concerning himself with the affairs of his father. The bar and bat mitzvah age is the age where the child can begin congregational life, be concerned with the affairs of the Father God. This is why Ayla is here today, because she loves Yeshua. She looks to him for her salvation and seeks to walk in his ways and emulate his perfect life. John 14:15 states, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." And verse 21, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Today, Ayla is a bat mitzvah, a daughter of the commandment. She's going to face many challenges in the future: a secular world that has no place for God, a religious world, both Jewish and Christian, that does not understand the path she's choosing to walk, the challenges of young adulthood, and the responsibilities of making her own decisions. I pray that here today, her gathered family, friends, and congregation would uplift her and support her in her walk with God. Shabbat Shalom. Let's go before Abba. Avinu, Malkeinu, Eloheinu, our Father, our King, our God. I thank you for the years of Ayla's life. I thank you for this time of maturing that she has come to. I thank you for the work and the strength you gave her to do your work. I thank you for all the gathered souls here that have come to celebrate her and worship you. In Yeshua Jesus' name we pray. Amen.